You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hey friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, ABBA's very own dancing queen this weekend.
Okay.
You didn't see me.
You're right, it's fair.
And a Bojangles advocate.
Advocate?
Yeah.
It says here on the script, turncoat.
I know, but I mean, I switch back and forth.
It's classic turncoat.
What's the alternative? Popeyes?
Definitely not KFC. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, KFC, is that doesn't count.
I haven't tried Royal Farms yet. Apparently, their fried chicken is
Royal Farms
crazy.
Oh,
yeah, it's like quite, you know, good. Like when it comes to gas station fried chicken.
Okay,
I would. It's above that. It's a cut above.
Fried chicken's been on my mind, so I'll talk about it in a bit.
I'm Matthew Ramsey, hamburger hot dogger, fan of the dram, and ice cream mentalist. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we have the nitrogenated style maven and destination wedding planner, Lucas B. Smith of Redbeard Office Hours.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Welcome, sir.
Happy to be here. Yeah. I don't have a tagline for myself.
No, you got, I feel like you have a lot. Something.
You have a lot. Okay, we're going to... So you don't have a preferred tagline.
I guess I'm wearing a few different hats,
yeah.
And I forgot the improvisational makeup a tagline hat today.
That's
but
fair.
I probably have many. I mean, I'll think of some.
Okay. I mean, we're going to be here for at least 2 hours. Buckle in, this is a long one.
Lucas is wearing a big Mountain Dew shirt right now, so he is representing his soda expertise.
So I'm told that I code switch out of my southern upbringing accent of my youth.
Yes.
And that one time that it comes out and I don't even notice it, is when I say the name of this soda drink.
Ooh.
That's on my shirt, and I say Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Well, I don't say mountain, right?
Yeah,
I don't say mountain.
There's no
I say
tea.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Go Dew. Mountain Dew.
Eddie, how do you say Mountain Dew?
Mountain Dew.
I do the Dew.
Dew.
The Dew. I don't even include mountain.
As long as you don't do
the Dew.
Yeah. To be to
do. You guys remember when there was a cube of the Dew?
A Dew cube.
A Dew cube.
a Dew cube.
Yeah, you mean when
you got to do the cube? All right. I think 90% of our listeners have stopped listening at this point. Yeah. All right, Lucas. Happy birthday, first off.
Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Now, usually, don't you celebrate at Red Lobster? Isn't that a thing?
That's been the move every year for, I'd say, 20 plus years. Ever since I moved to D.C., we take a large group of people out to the Red Lobster in Silver Spring.
That's Silver Spring is pretty much known for the Red Lobster.
That's what it's got. It's
probably the last vestige of Red Lobster in this area.
Oh, man.
There's one in Falls Church, I know that.
Aside from the biscuits, are there any... No. Other proclivities?
I mean, the biscuits are white. It's Cheddar Bay biscuits. We used to say, you know, who's coming to Cheddar Bay?
Nice.
On Thursday. But yeah, basically, I got a bad rap from the doc last year, and he said maybe ixnay on the Red Lobster birthday for a while.
Ixnay on the Cheddar Bay.
Ixnay Cheddar Bay. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's
I think
true.
It's, yeah, Latin. All doctors speak Latin, pig Latin, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's how they get started. The ones that are good at it.
Well, now we know what your final meal is going to be. Yeah, I don't have to ask that question.
Last meal is Cheddar Bay. When it doesn't matter anymore, bring it on.
They do sell those, so you can buy them at the store.
Can you?
Yeah, they have Cheddar Bay biscuit mix.
Are they right next to the White Castle burgers?
I've spent a lot of time trying to recreate the Red Lobster biscuit at home, and then I saw that they just have their own mix at the store. So
that's the way to go.
Big 40, and... You won't be celebrating at the Red Lobster, but you will be having a celebration at Destination Wedding.
Yeah, tonight I'm having the shindigs at Destination Wedding. My friend Doug Atwell, DJ Cinco, mm-hmm. Baltimore's finest in my opinion. He makes the party right. He's got the best musical taste of anyone I know. I'm taking all comers on that one. Nice. I guess he is, on his behalf.
That is at Destination Wedding tonight on 14th Street.
Below Doi Moi.
Murmur. And it's going to be a party. And you pick your wedding. Actually, which of the wedding alcoves do you like so much? For those of you who haven't been to Destination Wedding, it is kind of like a multi-destination, pick your own adventure.
Or choose it.
Cocktail. Or just choose them all.
Choose your own adventure. It's also just an excuse to think about something other than the outside world. Think about yourself.
Yeah.
It's like Instagram encapsulated into a bar.
Right. It's the ultimate, like, selfish, well, I'm going to destination wedding.
Well, people are into themselves now. And I've always been into myself.
I'm all about myself.
So I'm happy to see that the world, if you can say this without contradiction, I'm happy that the world is into itself as I've always been into myself.
Self-love.
So I feel more and less a part of the world than ever now.
Well, before we dig into it too much, let's do a little weekend recap, shall we?
Yeah, both of us were traveling this weekend.
One of us is traveling cooler than the other. Eddie, where'd you go?
I went to Richmond, Virginia.
Virginia. Virginia. That's just like a couple hours south of here?
About an hour and a half to 2 hours south. Still a destination.
You have to get there, so it's...
It's true.
You're not already there.
It's technically the south.
But you were judging
a cocktail competition. Richmond bartenders representing... See who kind of won out of the pack. It was part of the Fire Fork and Flower Food Festival, celebrating Southern food down in Richmond. I know it is.
That's a lot of mouth.
Yeah. And Amanda from Flora won.
Is there a sound effect for that? Yeah. Put Lexi on the spot.
Yeah, shake it.
Nice. Coming in a little too hot there, Alexa.
But I did get to hang out in town. I love Richmond. It's not my first time there. A lot of great restaurants are kind of popping up. Brenner Pass, which is kind of an Alpine Swiss style restaurant. Mm. You can get a $450 fondue that feeds 8 to 10 people. You pretty much just dunk yourself in.
Totally worth it. To
boiling hot cheese.
best bite, best drink, Richmond.
Best bite was at Pearly's. It's a Jewish deli.
Nice.
Was it Jewish?
Was it like
no? It was mother. It was legit.
It was legit-ish.
Yes, I'm sorry. It satisfied all my cravings. A lot of smoked fish. Nice. Smoked fish on anything.
Nice.
You went to?
I did a small
seaside town.
Yeah. Destination was Portland, but we kind of meandered with my weekend or my road warrior. We were kind of like looking for destination wedding places, honestly. Oh.
And you settled on the casino, right?
Yeah, because we did end up in the casino in the hot dog and taco costumes, but we were fast food. We worked our way through the Finger Lakes and made our way to Portland. Okay. It was pretty awesome.
Good. Did you go anywhere this weekend, Lucas?
I did not travel, but it was my birthday weekend.
Yeah. What a loser.
Yeah, I know.
Lucas is the hardest working man in town, literally. He's not wearing a cape, but he is the hardest working man in town.
Well, you know, I spend most of my time hiding the cape, so how's it going? But yeah, I basically took this weekend. I realized this is how you know that maybe you're getting a little bit older, is when I realized that I can do whatever I want on my birthday, and I choose to do nothing.
Isn't that, that's a good feeling, though.
It's nice to know that my father, I every time I call him up, I know who I'm getting. I called him up and I said, hey, how's it going? Thanks for the check or whatever. And he said, you're halfway there, buddy. Nice work. Thanks, Dad.
Now,
I said, you've got 15 years left. Make the most of them.
Yeah.
Seize the day.
Do you feel yourself inclined towards any midlife crises or?
Well, I was... As I was saying with you boys earlier, you know, I started thinking this weekend a lot about how much my day-to-day life is spent thinking about kind of different ways to tackle basically the DC market.
Sure.
And how I hear about people going to other towns and doing fun things, and I think, oh, that bar sounds great. That would not work here.
What I mean, what yeah, what is like what is the DC market? Why what makes it so unique?
Well, I think you know, there are different sections of it. What's interesting about DC is that for the size of town that it is, I think you have a lot of young people that are here with jobs, pretty good jobs, better than people that age tend to have, just given the large role the federal government and the consulting work that swirls around it makes possible.
Yeah.
And as a result, you've got, it's kind of like adult spring break for squares, maybe, right? Like the kids that weren't cutting, that weren't like screwing up their lives at Daytona Beach in high school or college are now attempting to make their life out of screw-ups that they didn't have earlier.
Right, catching up for lost
time. And that's kind of an unfair thing to say. I mean, DC's hipper and cooler than it's ever been. But you've got a lot of those people that are, you know, trying to figure out how to, like, cash up their suit combos, you know?
Sure,
and long story short, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of kind of sex-oriented drinking that's going on. And then you've got a tremendous... And everyone's super... you got a very... educated population. People like to talk, they like to know stuff, they like to talk about what they're doing and be talked to about what they're doing. So probably really high percentage of people that are following all the food blogs, given how many people we have.
Everyone's food is obsessed.
Yeah. So that's good for me.
I used to work with you. So Lucas and I, both bartenders, we used to work together. And one thing I've learned from you, and this goes to the point of kind of DC and the clientele here, is You take people literally by their ears and you shake them and you tell them, like, this is how you have fun. You really have to tell people in their face. And it can get rude sometimes. Lucas is not shy about getting rude.
Well, I started bartending in the pre-Yelp era. So I remember when the worst thing that could happen is that a drunk person might remember what you said to them.
Right.
But now they'll start writing before they get home. They won't even remember what they wrote in the morning. Until they see it.
Yeah, yeah. Some guy once called me a sneaky Batman.
Wow.
He was drunk because he was supposed to be a sneaky barman.
Well, and little did they know, the sneakiest Batman I've ever met, because I've never seen him do anything Batman-ish. Except show up as a cat to Daikaya for Halloween.
Classic Batman.
Sneaky Catman.
Sneaky Cat Batman.
Well, what are we drinking here?
I've gotten a lot nicer.
Okay. The show is Shift Drink. What are we drinking?
This is super tasty.
So this is, I used to be the drunkest bartender in DC. I guess I can't prove it, but there are lots of fun stories that will confirm at least my right to make that claim.
You're the unsneaky Batman.
Yeah, not so sneaky. There's Lucas. I can hear him from two bars away. We're drinking a version of chartreuse. So this is the yellow, the VEP, which means, translated, exceptionally long aged chartreuse. And I can even give you a fun French pretentious
rendering. Pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for it. I have it written down.
Vieillissement exceptionnellement prolongé.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a lot of letters.
It's a lot of French.
How long, do we know how long it is?
11 to 13 years aged.
Wow.
So the yellow, as opposed to the green, is lower in proof when it starts. And they sweeten this one with honey.
Okay.
So basically it's kind of like the chartreuse for kids, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they age it for 13 years and it becomes wonderful.
Something really beautiful.
It's my favorite thing to drink.
Yeah.
That I know I can reach for. Now, obviously, there's some wines that I might prefer, but I can't drink a whole bottle of wine anymore. Whereas I can have an ounce of chartreuse.
Yeah.
I don't even have to tell mom or the doctor. Don't tell either.
Well, we do a little game around these parts to kind of get to know people better. We call it Two Truths, One Lie.
Two Truths, One Lie.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're ready.
I like to hear that echo play. Yeah.
That was good.
Okay.
That was me. I made that echo sound.
Two truths, one lie. We suck at this game, but you can still...
Okay. Play. So I'm playing this game. So the first claim is that I have two master's degrees.
Okay.
The second claim is that I played in an Afrobeat band in Budapest, Hungary with three Cameroonian refugees.
Oh, that's cool.
The third claim is that at the University of Georgia, I was a member of the school's team spirit fraternity called the Spirituals.
Whoa.
Eddie Kim, what do you got?
I know the first one's not true. Or, I mean, I know the first one is true.
Okay. So it's between the Spirituals and the Afro Amazingness. Yeah. Okay.
Afro Amazingness is the name of a cocktail that I can't make.
I'm going to say the Spirituals.
Yeah, I'm going to say Spirituals. That's a lie.
It is a lie. Yes. But it's a modified lie.
Wow. Doesn't matter. We still won. We still won.
You did win. But can I explain how close you were?
Yeah.
Or how close it was to the truth? Because I guess I figured out the fun part was to say things about myself. So the first two were true.
Yes.
And that band did exist.
Yeah, let's talk about that band.
Well, anyway, when I was in college at the University of Georgia, I got mixed up with this like drumming core, Afro-Haitian Cuban music, like folkloric drums and stuff and dance, like the religious music, Santeria and Voodoo music.
Right on.
And so I got pretty good at it, I guess. And that's a skill that not a lot of folks in Hungary have, is like percussion skills. So you've got all these guys that are, you know, Russian music school trained guitarists and violinists and pianists, and they can like completely shred, but like they don't understand rhythm or any kind of improvisational thing. It's like, I can play you Rachmaninoff, but jazz, I don't understand.
Yeah.
This was something that was very real. And obviously, you know, I'm American, I've got a ponytail, it's great, you know. So that's how it worked out. We played like an Afrobeat version of Africa, which was one of the great things. Like,
before Weezer did it, right?
Well, before Weezer. It was the one thing I did before Weezer. I liked Buddy Holly. And
How long have you had this ponytail?
This version of the tail is different. Okay. That one was more, you know, kind of like a scruffy version of it. I was a big time hippie in college.
Okay.
There was a year in college where I didn't wear shoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a lot of service
until they made
life.
Me. Yeah, right. Well, I wasn't seeking much, man. I was one of those. I was like a clean.
And this goes back to your two masters.
Yeah, two master's degrees. So I got one at I was in Budapest pursuing a degree at Central European University. And that's when I linked up with this band, which was great fun, like I said. And then it was only a one-year program. Did pretty well in it. But, you know, I was a kid that graduates from UGA. And then the very next fall, I'm enrolled in a university in Budapest. And I'm getting my head exploded by, like, the novelty of all these experiences. And I don't know if you guys have ever applied to grad school, but you basically start applying the fall before the next fall. Okay. And I just wasn't ready to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was, you know, my life was turned upside down, as it were. And so I went back to UGA because I knew they would take me. They knew they couldn't do without me or whatever. Yeah. So I went back there and did that for a while.
Shoes on.
Yeah, I was wearing shoes the second
good,
time.
Good.
Very fair question. Yeah.
We'll take you back, but you got to wear shoes this year.
Well, you know, that was like a sophomore year thing.
Lucas
know?
Is well known around town for his shoe selection.
And I really like shoes now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm making up for lost time all those times.
There we go.
I didn't wear shoes.
The pendulum swings.
Indeed. But I was in the Spirituals in high school. That's
in high school?
Yeah. So that was the thing.
It was a school spirit group.
Yeah.
Fraternity. Was it like Color Guard? Did you throw stuff around?
No, we were just kind of, it was like an Animal House type thing. We were like the dumb, rowdy group at the front of the stands at the football games.
A lot of fart jokes.
Yeah, it was not my most elevated series of moments, but it is illustrative because I, you know, they nominated me because I had loads of school spirit, which you wouldn't necessarily think to see me that
you
I'm
and you can't buy
a big
that,
fan,
you know,
they nominated you for what was the award? Did you get like a Letterman's jacket out of it?
No, it was one of those things. It was a silent, so they would announce new members at, like chapel, basically assembly. We called it. So no one knew when it was going to happen. but they basically came out screaming. One of my friends, David Bryan, impersonated me, and his thing was basically just screaming and ripping his shirt. Man. I had a lot of testosterone in those days. You get to be 40, you start to realize, I don't have as much testosterone as I used to have.
That's a real thing. I'm 39, so I don't know what that means, but at 40, I'm sure.
I'm feeling a little bit younger.
We're going to step out momentarily. We're joined by Lucas, the Bee, and the Smith. Mm-hmm. Destination Wedding. I'm with Eddie Kim. We are Shift Drink, and we'll be right back.
Up all night with the same thing in my head. Just wanting you here next to me. It's been a long time, don't you agree? You can turn it all around and say to me.
That was very ABBA-like music. I actually appreciate it a lot. a little bit.
Eddie was dancing.
We are back. You're listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio at the Lion Hotel. We are right to my right is Matthew.
What's up?
To my left, we are joined by Lucas Smith.
Yes.
Bartender around town, mm-hmm. running Redbeard office hours, and you can catch him tonight at Destination Wedding for his 40th birthday.
Making a big one, guys.
It's a bash.
All right, so I've known you for a while, Lucas. Not as long as other people. You've been in industry longer than I have. I know from what I know you, you've done a lot of shit. Whatever bar you work at, you just kind of you throw yourself in there. You make random stuff. You kind of push the barometer past what is the baseline for a bartender. So I remember like at Pilar, you used to make your own A&D used to make your own Curacao. Pilar, there's like files all over the place on the second floor, I'm sure.
Still are.
Yeah, John Fain hates you.
But Lucas. Lucas comes in here, well, goddamn files everywhere.
But I feel like it all clicked at a certain point.
When
was that?
So this is the... We'll try to make it as unpreachy as possible. But as I was saying, there was a long time where I was, as I said earlier, the drunkest bartender in D.C. And very much in an old school mode, kind of like my high school spirituals days.
Yeah.
Just totally wiling out and working as much as possible. And that makes it hard to get up every morning and remember what you think about all these great ideas. You know, alcohol helps the creative process, but too much obviously annihilates everything that you thought about.
Yeah.
Or makes you forget about it. And so at a certain point, I'd never been fired from any jobs. I lost two jobs back to back. And Eddie had just hired me at Daikaya, and he was like, I hope you don't screw this up because the word on the street is you're a screw up now. And I was like, hey man,
sure
I will
say that.
Eddie.
I'm pretty sure I'm not,
well, that's not how he said
that.
It. That's how I heard it. Obviously you can hear my level of insecurity at the time. But one thing that happened was I decided that I wasn't going to drink during shift anymore. Cause I used to drink whatever I could get my hands on behind the bar. And so at that point I stopped doing that. And, that was really when I was working at Daikaya with you.
Cool.
I mean, like, I didn't drink behind the bar at Daikaya.
Yeah.
We would drink after shift, obviously.
Right. Right. Like, yeah, and that's when the screaming matches would sometimes
happen. Right. That would happen a lot. We had a lot of people in that room.
Yeah.
And then... So that had a lot to do with it. And then I started discovering basically...
But the flavors, like the techniques also kind of started clicking too.
Oh yeah. So a lot of it had to do with Katsuya's influence on both of us. Mm-hmm. So dealing with things like introductory fermentation and spherification and things like that. Basically getting a little more technical with the approach to things.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to mimic or recreate things that existed, we started trying to do things that we hadn't tasted before. Mm-hmm.
Katsuya is the executive chef over at Daikaya, but he came out of Think Food Group from Minibar.
So. Minibar, and he spent some time at El Bulli with Ferran.
So these are kind of like techniques. It's amazing to think all of these techniques that came out of Spain, and then they're starting to trickle down into your head and my head.
And so that's kind of where I got started. And then, honestly, I can't overestimate the importance of... Shandor Katz's Art of Fermentation. Like, that book really kickstarted a lot for me. Started thinking about the effects of aging and oxidation, controlled oxidation over time, getting more technical about all of it. Craft Bartending at Home was a book that I used a lot to get things started. And then just talking to Daisuke all the time about, you know, fermentation and, like, what is miso and what is mirin and...
Right.
What is koji? A lot of that stuff started then. I mean, now I grow koji on a weekly basis to make all the ferments that are the basis for the stuff that Redbeard makes. And without that exposure to Japanese technique and those methods of building flavor through fermentation, I don't know what I'd be doing now, but it started there for sure.
It's cool that you talk about fermentation because this is something that, you know, keeps making an appearance in almost all of our shows. Most recently, we talked with David Silver.
He was in town for a talk with Rene Redzepi, and they just released a book, the Noma Guide to Art Fermentation. It's have you read that? And are there any techniques that you haven't seen that you want to incorporate?
There's definitely a lot for me to learn from that book. I kind of my approach with outside sources at this point is really to kind of race through the book, look at everything, and then go back to my traditional sources of inspiration, which basically is food.
Yeah.
So I'll go around and I try to eat at as many different places and taste as many chefs' stuff as I can. And that's usually where some of my what appear to be fresh ideas come from. It's like, oh, we had a particular type of banana bread or something at the Dabney. And I'm like, oh, well, I want to make a drink out of that.
Yeah.
I want to make peanut butter banana bread.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wow, you made this scotch and sherry peanut butter thing. And it's like, yeah, and I totally stole it from Jeremiah, you know. And then so when that happens, I'll try to figure out how to make it work. And then that's where the side reading really comes to the fore.
Right on.
And then a lot of those things, frankly, I'm at a point now where you kind of go through phases where you're experimenting and then... At other phases, you are kind of consolidating. Like, what have I learned from these various experiments?
Sure.
And I'd say that's a mode that I'm in right now. Is a lot. I'm spending a lot more time refining processes rather than trying out new ones.
Well, I feel like that's a cool way of approaching. I mean, that's a good way of approaching the creative process, right? It's kind of exploding creatively, and then kind of dialing that, like those explorations in a little bit, and kind of figuring out what worked. How can I kind of consolidate those efforts and refine them.
Right. I'm not the guy, if by analogy with a certain notion of how to travel. Some people want to be traveling all the time, new experiences constantly. And for me, that's not ever really been the way I've gone about it. I want to go somewhere, have a rich experience. I'd rather go somewhere for a month and come back and digest it than go to 40 places in 4 months.
Right.
Because those 3 months spent kind of digesting what you went through in that one concentrated month are probably more useful as far as like orienting your life to the future that you want to have than just constantly changing scenery. So that's a big part of how I approach a lot of things in life.
You have a lot of destinations at your current situation right now. are there particular places that have had a lot of impact?
Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, you talked about traveling outside of DC.
Yeah, I try to do. I don't do that as much as I'd like. I really, you know, my problem in general is that I get really focused on the kind of quotidian day to day stuff. I'm not the best. I struggle with delegation, and partly it's because when I screw something up, so some of my best work has come out of things that I've screwed up and rescued in some way. If I don't know how I made it wrong, I don't know how to make it mine the mm-hmm. next time. And so I have a hard time letting other people do stuff. But I'm getting better all the time. Robin is installing draft lines at Ivy and Coney right now.
I saw that. Yeah.
That's very good.
That's cool.
But so we're getting better at it. And surrounding myself with people that I trust is really important too. And I'm lucky enough that talented people want to pitch in with me.
Right on.
I mean, that's a natural progression that you've come now that you're getting older, duh. But you put on a different hat and you have had a lot of hats over time.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I mean, and honestly, I mean, you know, you saw it really come into fruition. And, you know, I've been another thing I'm trying to do as I get older is think about other things than just bartending. And I obviously went to grad school twice, so I got pretty deep into some subjects from at least a layman's point of view, deeper sure. than average. And so one of the things that I was really interested in were these kind of philosophical and literary deployments of Freud, which we're not going to get that deep into it. But one of the things that's like a steady running current in there is like how to think about how an artist on the model of how a child, like how a child individuates itself vis-a-vis its parents, its mother, its birth, mm-hmm. etc. And you've got this typical sort of Oedipus complex business coming back. And that might sound crazy, but one thing that is true about it is that having something set up in front of you as like an obstacle that you overcome is part of the way that you define yourself.
Sure.
And for the first several years, and this is what I think this speaks to what Eddie was talking about, I always had a boss because I was too drunk and crazy to be given like control of anything. It's like, we're just going to try to contain this creative explosion that is Lucas and hope he doesn't like get the Yelp, you know. And again, pre-Yelp, it didn't matter. It's like, well, whatever, just yeah. your word versus theirs. And so I never had control of anything. And Eddie was the first guy to say, well, yeah, you're good at this. You should have some freedom to do what you want. And of course, and I really embraced that. And, but a lot of the time, really what it kind of meant was sort of trying to destroy the person who's got the job ahead of you so that you can be that person. And I think Eddie and I feel like you just kind of passed the baton to me. That was my feeling. We haven't really talked about that.
Yeah.
There's a dark history here.
What better place to talk about it than live on
Eddie,
air?
I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings there.
Yeah, that was a time. That was a time. Lucas and I,
we were fighting over the same bone a little bit. But I don't look back. I didn't feel that way when I look back on it.
Sure.
No, I mean we go in our separate directions, and now I'm doing this, and you're doing that, your thing, and
it's all good.
And we end up crashing back
it's
together.
Really
again.
Great.
Can
it's
we get so some more VEP in here, please?
Why my glass is empty?
Help yourself.
Let's talk about your current place.
Yeah, let's change the subject a little bit.
What is like? I mean, what does it mean to be an operator in this day and age? Is it all about the Instagram? Is it clickable cocktails?
You know, that's a huge part of it. And I would be like, this bar was the first. So I'll create a slight bit of context. It's been a conversation that I've been a part of 100 times in the last 3 or 4 years. And it's had to do with, you know, the future of the cocktail bar. Like, is this cocktail bar thing, does it have legs? Is it possible to have like a thriving cocktail business? Because on one hand, obviously the answer is yes, because there are more cocktails being poured, more spirits are being poured in the form of classically constructed cocktails than ever before.
Yeah.
And more people know more about them and have more understanding of what they are than ever before. While at the same time, it's harder and harder to fill a bar that's focused specifically on cocktails up, or at least that seems to be the case.
Sure.
And, you know, the question was always, well, what's going to come next? And Destination Wedding was my attempt to sort of plot that curve a little bit, in the sense of finding a new answer to the question, like, what's the future of the cocktail bar? And I said, well, there's really not much if the cocktail bar is about bartenders rather than about guests. And in this case, Destination Wedding is very much a response to the people that I saw going out on 14th Street on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it wasn't groups of guys in motorcycle jackets. It's
much to our chagrin.
Yeah, it's too bad. Those are my friends.
Yeah.
My friends don't go out on 14th Street anymore. Yeah. So then what do you do? I think trying to find a way to basically bring quality cocktails to a market that wants really things just as fast as they can get them. You know, people are there trying to have fun. They're basically trying to party, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And they don't want to wait on cocktails. They don't want to have a cocktail explained to them. Nobody's really trying to think about it that way right now, it doesn't seem. Or the group of people that are trying to do that have self-selected. They're already at that place. They're not on 14th Street wandering around looking for a good time. And so, you know, we very self-consciously made a menu that was based upon fairly classic drink types that people still order. You know, we have an old fashioned, we have a margarita,
vodka,
we have
a soda,
Negroni, we have a vodka soda, we have, you know, a Madras mule. And of course, like, when was the last time anyone ordered a Madras? But I'm kind of like, hey, they're pretty good. Maybe we should try to push the Madras again. You know, that's a good cocktail. Cranberry juice is good. That's the other thing that I want to say. Destination Wedding is about how cranberry juice is a good cocktail ingredient.
Yeah. Bring it back.
Sorry.
I think we all buried it because, I mean, like, where we, like, I don't know, when I was 24 and going on that proverbial, like, 14th Street and, like, ordering the cocktails, like, things that were available were, like, 20 different martinis and... Yeah.
Things called martinis.
That yeah, exactly.
Just, like, weird, sweet, sourless up cocktails.
Like, oh, this cocktail is a Jolly Rancher. That's fucking cool. I want that.
Right, if you like Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
So it's a Sour Patch, man.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But I mean, I go back with bartending far enough that, I mean, I've forgotten a lot of it, thank God. But I mean, I remember when I was at bartending in Athens, 2002, you know, I knew how to make 25 different bullshit shots.
Yeah.
But are these things that you want to forget? I don't want to forget them. And there is a whole lot of value that comes to it, nostalgia.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, honestly, that's also part of the bar. One of the taglines for Destination Wedding that we played around with was instant nostalgia. It's like, we want people to feel like they're having a memorable time while they're having it.
Yeah.
And while giving them the elixir of forgetfulness. It's kind of it's sort of a beautiful little dance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's I mean, I like that part of it. That sort of magical, not in the romantic sense, but magical maybe in the darker sense. Like, we are sort of seeking our own annihilation in some ways, in ways that are pleasurable. But
keep going. I mean,
that part of the game is more important to me now because, you know, I don't really drink for pleasure that much anymore. Mostly because my bottle is mostly empty. You know, I've already had my share.
Yeah. Like,
when I was working at St. X, Jonathan Fain wouldn't carry green chartreuse because he knew I would drink all of it. And that's a $50 bottle even in those days. So it's screwing up your liquor costs. It's like, Lucas, this is Lucas on a Friday. You know, somebody said something mean. He's a bottle and a half down by midnight.
You know? Oh, what was the meanest thing someone's ever said to you?
Oh, man.
That you remember.
It's fun. It's a good point, because if they didn't say it, if they said it during shift, I probably got so drunk I forgot they said it. But, you know, lots of things. You know, I've been kind of somebody, you know, 10 years ago, I'm wearing a fedora behind the bar and a hat and a tie that I made, you know, and a belt with a fun belt buckle.
That was Derringer Friday.
Derringer Friday. I had Derringer a tie Friday. Company. I was trying to do all that stuff. And, you know, always trying to take a swing at whatever I thought. Whatever I wanted to do, basically.
Yeah.
Never afraid to try it. Never afraid to fail too much, anyway.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's okay. Ask my partners. But yeah, so people would make fun of the attire. People would make fun of, you know, weight is an easy one to pick on. I've never been slim since high school. So yeah, you know, people say hurtful things.
Yeah, but you're a big Southern guy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I never got into a fight, thank God. But yeah, you know, people say, whatever, fat ass. And I'm like, shh, don't fight with the bartender because you always lose.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
You can't win.
Because Errol, did you ever bartend with Errol as a doorman? Yeah. I've heard stories about Errol. I want him on the show. DC's
Errol's
best,
great.
Best doorman.
Yeah.
He does Destination Wedding now. That's how. So, and Errol and I met each other when we were both door guys at Marvin.
Oh, whoa, really?
Yeah, I did that. Because I could. So, when I moved to DC, there were so few bar jobs. The first person I ever talked to about a bar job in DC was Jonathan Fain.
No way.
And he said, you should try to get a job at a hotel. And I almost fought him in the street. He doesn't know that I almost fought him
by
in
the
street.
Very ironic that you
eventually worked for him.
Well, that you were self-conscious about your clothing. Yeah, and you're talking to Jonathan Fain.
He also has a pretty impressive hat collection.
Oh, right. So the only guy that dresses more outlandishly than me, historically, I've slowed it down some. But that guy has got some outfits, let me tell you. But yeah, so in order to get in at Marvin, which was the hottest bar in the world at the time, it seemed, I was willing to do anything. I was working at Big Bear Coffee because I didn't want to work at a hotel. And I started working the door at Marvin, and then after like a month, I was a bar back at Marvin. And then when I knew all the wine labels, they were like, do you want a bartend? Like, yeah, it's funny you mention it. I've been thinking about it every day for the last 6 months. Whereas now, obviously, it's a different situation. You know, it took a lot of time for us to get to this place, but there was a time when you couldn't get a job as a bartender in DC unless you knew somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to happen. Especially if you're not of a certain type. You know? They didn't want buxom dudes that knew how to pronounce VEP chartreuse. Like, that was not what it was about.
Now
it's everything.
Now
I have to say a few things that are controversial. It's like, now there are people that I wouldn't hire as barbacks that are running programs, and it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
As the wheel turns.
Yeah, it's cool.
But you've learned. I mean, you've learned to, it's a bitter pill to swallow. Has it been, or is it just something that you don't care about?
Well, I mean, honestly, a lot of it is, that's where Redbeard makes a lot of its hay. You know, so Redbeard is like a soda company, basically, and cocktail consultancy. We sell people ginger beer and prebatched cocktails and kegs and install draft lines and all that stuff. So that is an answer directly to this problem.
Sure.
It's like, it was something that we developed originally to be like a catering company, and then we ended up realizing like, hey, if you got a bar, if you take it from 10 bars to 100 bars and there are only 15 bartenders and we have 85 non-bartenders running bar programs and you still have to have a cocktail list, what do you do?
Yeah,
it's like, well, let's figure out a way to make it easy for them to serve good drinks. And so, yeah, for me, that's the mold I've grown into. I don't feel any resentment about it at all. It's a shame that there are so few bars that have real bar teams anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that I miss. And even the ones that try it don't always necessarily succeed. I mean, Trevor's squad at 5-1 was really good. They had a lot of good people there, and that wasn't enough to make that work. Whereas at Service Bar across the street, they also have a strong team, and it's crushing, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell what's going to work and what's not. But one thing's for sure is that GMs don't want to pay bar guys if they don't have to.
Sure.
And they're more than happy to pay Redbeard to make stuff for them.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense. So that's, for me, that's the future of this business. It'll be interesting to see how it winds down.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're entering a time of contraction.
Really interesting.
You mean the bubble's bursting?
The bubble, I think the bubble has burst in the sense that there's not enough money to go around. That's been the case for a while. And we're starting to see the effects of it. But I feel like the bubble burst about a year and a half ago.
Interesting. So wait, what's going to go first? Or what has gone first?
I think when you hear about, you know, the Black Cat.
Black Cat
shrinking
from two floors down to one floor.
Black Cat.
On 14th Street.
Which is crazy because I thought that bar was bulletproof. It'd last forever. Like the most iconic.
Right.
Yeah, everything wonderful about it.
And there's a great Washington Post article about the contraction. It's very good. And when it came down to it, it's because punks don't go out anymore.
Well, punks got old.
Punks got old.
Well, punks open places like Meats and Foods now.
Yeah, that's true,
like,
right?
I love all these blue-armed hippies that are like farming. It's like, oh, you need a shower? Like, no, I just have them covered in blue ink. Yeah. Like, that's cool. Yeah. But like, they're all hippies now. They don't want, you know, hot dogs and cigarettes. Like, everyone gave that up. So yeah, it's definitely a different environment. But I think if there were enough people on 14th Street to go around, it wouldn't have happened because it's still a good place to go.
Yeah.
There just aren't enough bodies to go into all the bars. That's the problem. We're still in a small town.
Until Amazon comes here.
But not as small as Portland. What? Portland, Maine.
Is Portland, Maine bigger?
I know, they're small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But D.C. is... Again, D.C. is outsized for what it is in our market.
Yeah.
They're more drinkers per capita.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're a fickle bunch.
Are they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot less loyalty to places than there used to be.
I think that's very fair.
Well, it's hard to hold people's attention.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So, you know, with Instagram has made it so that trends are forming in the moment, and the people that are participating in the formation of those trends are driving the boat. You know, they're the ones deciding where big groups of people are going.
Yeah.
There's not as much of a, you know, everyone's in their phone checking out all the new spots. There's not just a place to meet up.
Well, and that's the question, like how to create stickiness in an Instagrammable
So maybe there's room for both. Do you want to have stickiness? You mentioned Marvin. Marvin is going to be around forever because it is such an icon in DC. Well, knock on wood, because we've seen that some older places go down, but then you have newer places or even pop-up bars.
Right.
Which are taking over everywhere.
I mean, and you know, most people walk into Destination Wedding and they say, oh, this is a cool pop-up. And I'm like, actually, it's an insane experiment in having a bar that has all the pop-up bar stuff that's not a pop-up bar.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it works, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, our fingers are crossed, but there are no guarantees.
A continually popping bar.
Yeah. I mean, and we can change the booths, the nooks, whenever we want.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. For those who don't know, there are... four different destinations. You have Las Vegas type place. You have Jackson Hole type place. You have Morocco type place. Right. You have
camping.
That's Jackson Hole. And then you have like a tropical type Bali / Hawaii location. So those things could change. But it mostly is my thinking from the beginning was wedding reception. That's what I wanted. Because a wedding reception is fun, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about getting drunk. It's not just about food. It's mostly about just having fun with people that you like.
Right.
Celebrating something that we all agree is good, which is, you know, new love and commitment, right? And families coming together. So for me, it's like people ask me, why Destination Wedding? It's like, well, because it's weird, because I wanted it to stick in your mind.
Yeah.
A.
Worked.
So that's worked. But secondly, like weddings are like bars in that they're excuses to go out and have fun and celebrate things that you care about with people that you like.
And the good ones are open.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Unless it's a dry wedding. Which the last dry wedding I went to was in Georgia. So maybe challenge to you.
You're welcome.
Dry wedding.
Last time I was actually at Destination Wedding.
There was 20 times as
actually a wedding party there too. Have you guys done?
We've had a fair number of those.
That's amazing.
I think that's going to happen more and more.
Weddings come to your bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time I was there, there was a wedding at your bar.
And that's obviously good and bad. Because in the old days when we used to work at bars that were so busy, you know, and Eddie and I would each make $500 at Daikaya on a Friday night. Whoa. Those were good nights. Yeah. Eddie and I made a formidable bar team.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were behind the bar together, not just coming up with stuff, but actually making drinks. We would mash.
There was one particular night. We had some help. I think you remember this. We had some additional help. And it was great. But I don't know if those days will last anymore. I'm putting it out there. We bartenders will use any tools at our disposal.
Yes. Yes. Orange plastic see-through bottles with official labels.
Oh my god! Yes.
Yes.
Let's go to our next little game here. This is a little segment we call Rapid Fire.
Time for the payback.
Rapid Fire.
I was not prepared for this one.
Yeah, so these are, we're just going to ask you a series of questions as fast as you can. Tip of the tongue, respond. What weird food combination do you really enjoy?
Mayonnaise and potato chips.
Ugh, gross.
I love it. Everyone knows you as Lucas B. Smith. What does a B stand for?
Baird.
Spell it.
B-A-I-R-D. I want to sound like the Rapid Fire. B-A-I-R-D.
Oh, that's good. Was there any temptation to make your company Red Baird instead of Red Beard?
It's kind of in there. Because if you look at the Ellis Island stuff, Bairds became Beards and Bayards.
Ah,
so all those names that you see as different are actually probably not.
Right on.
It's all Bairds.
Bairds.
What is your snobbiest pleasure?
If it's not VEP Chartreuse, it's Cristal.
Yeah.
I really, really like Cristal.
Right on. We're talking about Pepsi?
I like that too. But I'm a Coca-Cola man. When I'm not a Mountain Dew man.
Yeah. Mountain Dew.
Dew.
You're not wearing any fashion accessories right now. What's your favorite one?
Still, I have a couple of Hermes pocket squares.
Nice.
And the one that I like the most is probably the most inappropriate one, but it's called Indian Fantasies. Subcontinental India. So it's like,
that's another wedding destination.
It's a very good one. it's this completely exploded, you know, panoply of, you know, elephants and dancing ladies and overflowing fruit bowls. I mean, it's really quite something.
I love a good fruit bowl.
And then I can have the fantasy script pop out of my pocket, which is how you know that I'm really ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for everything on a night like that.
We're moving into Scorpio season here. Is there a zodiac sign that you just don't tend to get with, hang with?
Scorpion season.
I'm definitely S-Z-N. A Scorpio. You know, I feel like Scorpios are, we're the coolest ones. Obviously.
Classic Scorpio.
You know, I'm mysterious. I lie. I'm manipulative, apparently. I'm sexy, I guess they say that. But, you know, my older brother is a person I've most consistently bumped heads with in my life. And he is a, what is it? Sagittarius, is that what's next?
Saggy?
He's a Sagittarius, so screw those guys.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm saying. Don't step to me if you're a Sag.
Yeah, what a Sag.
Lucas, I've seen you wear nautical type clothing. If you had a boat, what would you name it?
Eddie. Left, right, click. Right, left, click.
Left, right, click.
What would I name my boat? Hold on, I'm sorry. I need a better answer than that.
Do you remember the nickname you gave me at Daikaya?
You were Ebi-san.
Ebi-san.
Means shrimp.
Shrimp.
Shrimp. Sir Shrimp. Respectfully, Shrimp. I think Ebi-san would be a great name for my boat. Because I'm going to get rich because I'm famous because I was on this
podcast. I'm going to stop you there. I am literally thinking about naming a company after that.
I'd never thought about what I would name a ship. I feel bad. I love that stuff. I'm so into it.
Yeah, you're kind of nautical by nature.
Hey! Just to make fun of Robin Miller, would he be your Gilligan?
Oh my god. He's like Gilligan's son.
Illegitimate son with which of the three ladies on the island?
It's a pretty good. I mean, there's no losing that battle.
That really isn't.
That's a pretty good trio.
Yeah. All right, and last but least.
Honestly, you know, respectfully, it's like he's a. I can't say this. You can see why the spirituals thing is coming through, the natural hazing bullying instinct. I was going to say that he's a stowaway. But that's not right. He's Gilligan 100%. He's my guy. He's my little buddy.
Yeah.
For those of you wondering, Robin Miller works at Destination Wedding. He has a stupid mustache, and you can catch him. Please make fun of him.
Gilligan.
Oh, man.
All right, last
question.
He was
Gil the first time.
Yeah. This is our final question. This is a little game of Mary, fuck, kill.
We each wrote one.
We each wrote one. Who's it going to be?
We could do it both.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't we do it both really quickly? Lucas, you like snacks.
Love them.
You know those wrap snacks that we see at bodegas?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so Mary Fuck Hill, three of these. They have lots of flavors, but three of these flavors. The Migos white cheddar with a dab of ranch. The Yale, the Lil Yachty hot cheese fries. Or the Fetty Wap honey jalapeno.
I think that I marry Fetty Wap.
Yeah.
I think that I kill the Migos.
Oh, wow. That's the most popular one. It also comes in popcorn, too.
I don't like them. Fetty Wap is my trap musician of choice.
Okay.
And then I guess I marry Lil Yachty.
Okay. No, you said you marry Fetty Wap.
I marry Fetty Wap?
Yeah, that's what
I think
said.
I want to bone Fetty
Wap. Oh, you want a Fetty Wap.
Bone.
I'm gonna bone him.
Bone the Wap.
I wish they had Bone Thugs and Harmonies snack. That would be my first choice.
BTH. All right, man, here's my question. These are discontinued sodas.
Oh, shit.
So, OK Cola, Surge, which is that...
The poor man's Mountain Dew.
Which was like green and delicious. And then there was Orbitz, which had the chunks. Remember that? The floating chunks?
Floating chunks. I can't even hear the word chunks without thinking of blowing chunks, which I think was a
I think it was kind of like drink. Yeah, I was drinking like blowing chunks.
Yeah, so I think I definitely kill the chunks.
Orbitz is dead. Novel is idea, dead. But dead to me.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Robin Miller is trying to bring that idea back to one of his cocktails.
I can attest. That's not far off. I definitely marry Surge because that's my life.
Yeah.
And then who do I bone?
Okay, Cola.
You know,
but you're
it's
not,
okay.
You're, okay.
They're okay for a night.
Yeah, that'll do. You know, I'm not going to keep it around. I'm not going to introduce it to Granny, you know.
Well, Lucas, thank you so much for coming in today. Happy fucking birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks for having me.
You guys come celebrate with him tonight. Also, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes or future episodes on iTunes or wherever the fuck you grab your podcasts, including Spotify. And find us on all the social media as @ShiftDrinkDC.
Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us a 1-star review on Yelp as a terrible bartender, me. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux for our intro music and DJ RecTech for the hilarious sound effects. If I may actually intercede... speaking of pop-ups, I have a pop-up this weekend.
Yeah.
Or this week, a Thursday. It's Aquavit week. It starts today. Everyone in the country, please start drinking Aquavit. Jacob Greer, who started the program out of Portland, the other Portland, will be in town on Friday.
Awesome.
But Chantal Sang and I will be doing a Aquavit pop-up at Petworth Reading Room on Thursday.
Fuck yeah.
Jacob Greer from the Beer Cocktails book?
Yes. Yes, cocktails on tap, yeah, but not good. About draft cocktails. Which,
which, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm coming for you, JG. That's all I'm saying.
Next week, we welcome back Bill Murray to discuss his thoughts on salt and pepper, a man of all seasons.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.